Welcome back to WTVU News. Here's tonight's New England Report. The first thing Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley did after being re-elected was solicit Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker to release more prisoners who are at high risk for the coronavirus. Pressley called the latest numbers in penitentiaries, which show that over 300 inmates and staff statewide have tested positive for COVID-19 in the past month, a public health threat, and said it would be easy for Baker to accompany California and New Jersey, who have released 10,000 at-risk inmates in the past few weeks. Since the beginning of the pandemic, over 1,000 have tested positive and 10 have died. In her Tuesday statement, Pressley made specific reference to the recent outbreak at the medium security prison MCI Norfolk, which only began widespread testing 2 weeks ago after two men tested positive. Now, over 150 out of the roughly 1,200 prisoners are positive, and two have been hospitalized. There has not been any new testing information released since Friday, and at least 300 tests are still pending. MCI Norfolk is home to some of the state's most senior and vulnerable inmates. Recent weeks have seen spikes in MCI Shirley, Essex County Jail, and the Massachusetts Alcohol and Substance Abuse Center.
One of two teenage girls who went missing in Saco, Maine last weekend has been found, according to police. 15-year-old Michelle Sargent was located by police on Wednesday after she had been missing since November 6th. Another girl, 13-year-old Mariah Bailey, has been missing since November 5th and has still not been found. According to Saco Police Detective Sergeant Chris Hardiman, the cases are unrelated, yet they are similar in terms of disappearance. Both the ages of the girls and their disappearances are similar, as both left their homes at night to meet up with friends and to travel to different locations. Additionally, he said that investigators believe that both girls are not in danger and that there is no risk to the public at the time.
The American Civil Liberties Union and other advocacy groups have filed legal actions urging Baker to release more people from prisons, where it is often impossible to properly social distance. In his Tuesday press conference, Baker noted that over 1,400 inmates have been paroled over the past 7 months and said prison officials have been doing a, quote, terrific job, unquote, at improving testing and issuing new protective measures to limit the spread. After hearing long-anticipated arguments on Tuesday challenging the Affordable Care Act, it's looking like the Supreme Court will vote to uphold the act, which is good news for Massachusetts, who is among the states defending the law. Without the support of the federal government through ACA, the state would not be able to maintain the health insurance access law signed by former Governor Mitt Romney in 2006. According to the report by the Blue Cross Blue Shield of Massachusetts Foundation released Tuesday, if ACA were repealed, the number of uninsured Mass residents would rise by 69,000, and 422,000 would lose their health coverage. The percentage of uninsured residents under the age of 65 would rise from the current 4.4% to a whopping 12%. To maintain its subsidized coverage programs without the help of the federal government, the state health program spending would need to rise by roughly $2.1 billion.
Dozens gathered on Boston's Heath Street to protest the MBTA's proposed service cuts this Wednesday. Due to low ridership and a funding shortfall, the Heath Street station is one of five on the Green Line's E branch that will no longer be served under the proposed cuts. According to the MBTA, these cuts are a response to the COVID-19 pandemic and are intended to match new train and bus rider patterns caused by the pandemic. According to NBC 10 Boston, subways are running at 24% capacity compared to their pre-pandemic numbers, and the total number of daily trips made by the T has dropped from 1.26 million daily to 330,000. As of now, the T still runs the same as it did before the pandemic, though these proposed changes will adapt to the new numbers. A vote by the MBTA Fiscal Management and Control Board is expected to take place next month regarding these changes.
In Colchester, Vermont, a community center promoting wellness for veterans is expected to open early next year. It will be named Josh's House in honor of Josh Pallotta, who suffered a traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress from military service in Afghanistan. When John came back, his parents said he was a changed man, becoming angrier and more withdrawn, with his brain injuries eventually leading him to suicide. Josh's father, Greg Pallotta, says this programming will be how veterans get back into society and where they can feel safe again. The center will have game rooms, space for massages or meditation, a computer lab for career readiness, a workout space, and programming for personal interests ranging from guitar lessons to personal finance. Dr. Laura Gibson of White River Junction VA Medical Center believes that more human connections for the veterans will boost their mental health, and the more resources that can be gathered, the better off and more successful the center will be.
The governor of Vermont puts new quarantine guidelines for visitors of the state in place. Due to a spike of COVID-19 cases around the country and in the state, Governor Phil Scott put in place mandatory 14-day quarantines or 7-day quarantines with a negative test for any visitors from outside the state. He also put in place compliance checks, which will be performed by state police. Compliance checks will also be performed by the Department of Liquor and Lottery and Fire Safety. These checks will be done by plain-clothed officers in locations that are visited by people traveling to the state, like outdoor areas and hotels. These checks start the 12th of November. The governor had suspended an earlier plan that allowed visitors from other counties with low rates of COVID-19 to enter the state without restrictions. These new precautions come after the state had its first death from coronavirus since July this Saturday.
At 10 a.m. on Wednesday, veterans were joined by the State Secretary for the Department of Veterans Services and Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker for a pre-recorded virtual Veterans Day ceremony. The ceremony remembered the actions and sacrifices of those who have served, along with their families and friends who supported them. In his remarks, Baker said that this day gives everyone a chance to reflect on the rights, liberties, and opportunities they have as a result of this. Major General William Chen spoke during the ceremony, representing his family with three generations of Army veterans, saying the sacrifices of veterans are especially vivid throughout the history of Massachusetts. In 2018, the Chinese-American World War II Veteran Congressional Gold Medal Act to honor the Chinese-Americans in World War II was put into place, as 40% of Chinese-Americans who served were not citizens of the United States and therefore did not receive awards. There are two living recipients in Massachusetts who will receive this honor in the following ceremony within the coming months.
Scituate, Massachusetts is set to vote on whether or not they will change language in laws and positions to gender-neutral pronouns. The town in Massachusetts has a vote coming up on November 16th and a special town hall to change general bylaws to gender-neutral pronouns. If passed, they will change he, him, and she, hers pronouns to they, them to be more inclusive of other gender identities. Examples of their plans are to change selectman to select board member and chairman or to chair or chairperson. Other towns in Massachusetts in recent years have also made the switch to more gender-inclusive language. Towns include Hopkinton, Plymouth, and Lexington.
On behalf of Amanda Schneider, Melissa Ellen, Grace Ramey, Megan Forsyth, Hannah Barron, and Sammy Grobman, for WTBU News, I'm Alex Corey, and we'll be right back with your national report.